I recently finished a book that made me pause, tilt my head, and think, did I stumble across a secret manual for decoding reality? Or is this spiritual snake oil with footnotes? I'm Jonathan with Limitless, and this is my book review of Power vs. Force by David Hawkins. And below this video review podcast thing, whatever format you're consuming me in today, I'm going to have a link over to the full review over on my website, limitlessmindset.com. And over there, you can find all the links and all the good stuff that I'm going to mention here. So if you have read this book or heard about this book, well, in this podcast, I might surprise you with what my conclusion is here. So Hawkins claims to have discovered a way to objectively distinguish truth from falsehood using nothing more than the body's response to statements. The tool is applied kinesiology, a technique where a subject's muscle strength is tested while holding a thought, statement, or stimulus in mind. If the statement is true, the muscle goes strong. And if it is false, the muscle goes weak. That's right. The idea is that you can test the veracity of anything about the present or past. Did your mind immediately jump to how you might use this to make money? This may sound like pseudoscience. To be fair, it often is dismissed as such, but Hawkins builds an entire cosmology around it. A map of consciousness spanning levels from shame to enlightenment and courage as the threshold that separates destructive force from life-enhancing power. The book blends metaphysics, psychology, spirituality, and sociology in a dense and sometimes meandering way. It is half spiritual guidebook, half philosophical treatise, and half bold scientific claim. And yes, that is three halves. Hawkins' map is not much tighter either. This is what I think you might find real interesting. I conceived of an N-of-1 experiment to test the bold claim that applied kinesiology makes. Since I have my whole genome sequenced, I can muscle test specific statements about my DNA and then check them against the genetic report that I have. If my body can consistently verify the truth or falsity of my genetic facts, I can verify that by checking my own genes, which would be a powerful confirmation of Hawkins' central claim. But first, let's unpack what's in the book. Here's the essential message. Early in the book, Hawkins drops what he sees as his most fertile discovery. Human consciousness is like a terminal plugged into a universal database. Everyone, by birthright, has access to this infinite store of truth and genius. Quote, "The individual mind is like a computer terminal connected to a giant database. The database is human consciousness itself, of which our own consciousness is merely an individual expression, but with its roots in the common consciousness of all mankind. This database is the realm of genius, because to be human is to participate in the database. Everyone, by virtue of his birthright, has access to genius. The unlimited information contained in the database has now been shown to be readily available to anyone in a few seconds, at any time, and in any place. This is indeed an astonishing discovery, bearing the power to change lives, both individually and collectively, to a degree never yet anticipated. This is the essential message of power versus force. Truth is accessible to all, instantly, through a simple technique. If you believe Hawkins, this is a revolutionary breakthrough, a kind of spiritual technology that could guide not just individuals, but whole societies towards higher consciousness. So let's talk about the testing technique. The mechanics are deceptively simple. One person extends their arm, another applies light pressure and asks the subject to resist. A true statement produces strength, a false one produces weakness. A quote from the book. Two persons are required. One acts as test subject by holding out one arm laterally parallel to the ground. The second person then presses down with two fingers on the wrist of the extended arm and says, resist. The subject then resists the downward pressure with all their strength. That is all there is to it. A statement may be made by either party. When the subject holds it in mind, his arm strength is tested by the tester's downward pressure. If the statement is negative, false, or reflects a calibration below 200 in the map of consciousness, below courage, the test subject will go weak. If the answer is yes or calibrates above 200, he will go strong. And if you're raising an eyebrow, you're not alone. Hawkins insists this has been tested across cultures, across decades, with millions of calibrations on thousands of test subjects. He claims perfect reproducibility, the gold standard of science. Quote, subjects were tested individually and in groups by many different testers and groups of testers. In general, the results were identical and reproducible, fulfilling the fundamental requirement of the scientific method, perfect experimental replicability. As a biohacker, I frickin' love the idea of this. Imagine being able to instantly verify whether a supplement is good for you, or whether a person is trustworthy, or whether your current business ideal is integrous. Hawkins even notes it can be used to diagnose current life problems, which is an especially appealing tool, perhaps, to an audience of personal growth enthusiasts like you guys and gals who follow me. Quote, the test procedure, the reader will note, is to use the muscle test to verify the truth or falsity of a declarative statement. Unreliable responses will be obtained if the question has not been put into this form, nor can a reliable result be obtained from inquiry into the future. Only statements regarding existing conditions or events in the past or present will produce consistent answers. But here's where the skepticism creeps in. Where are the PubMed links? Hawkins provides almost no peer-reviewed citations, and his footnotes are thin. A claim this extraordinary demands extraordinary evidence, not just anecdotes. Next, let's talk about the map of consciousness. And I do actually have the map, an image of it, at least over on the review on limitlessmindset.com, if you want to take a gander at it. One of Hawkins' most influential contributions is his map of consciousness. It charts levels of energy and awareness from the destructive, which would be like shame, guilt, fear, up through neutrality, love, joy, peace, and enlightenment. The critical tipping point is 200, courage. Quote, the critical response point in the scale of consciousness calibrates at level 200, which is the level associated with integrity and courage. All attitudes, thoughts, feelings, associations, entities, or historical figures below that level of calibration make a person go weak. Those that calibrate higher make subjects go strong. This is the balance point between weak and strong attractors, between negative and positive influence. So below 200, life is draining and destructive. Above 200, life becomes expansive and empowering. Hawkins notes that courage enables us to face challenges, grow, and embody integrity. Maya Angelou put it more bluntly. Courage is the most important of all the values because without courage, you can't practice any other value consistently. That is a quote I've always liked. Next from Hawkins, courage implies the willingness to try new things and deal with the changes and challenges of life. At this level of empowerment, one is able to cope with and effectively handle the opportunities of life. At 200, for instance, the energy to learn new job skills is available. Growth and education become attainable goals. There's the capacity to face fears or character defects and to grow despite them. Anxiety also does not cripple endeavor as it would at lower stages of evolution. Obstacles that defeat people whose consciousness is below 200 act as stimulants to those who have evolved at the first level of true power. But the higher levels of consciousness in his map raise questions for me. How exactly do you define love, peace, joy, or enlightenment? Hawkins does not offer precise definitions, and the vagueness here weakens the framework. It's inspirational, but slippery in practice. And then there is level 600, peace, supposedly attained by only 1 in 10 million people, which makes it sound less like a personal growth target and more like a spiritual lottery ticket. If your odds are worse than becoming a billionaire, is it really useful as a spiritual benchmark? And bad news. Apparently, you're stuck at around the consciousness level you were born at. Quote, it's uncommon for people to move from one level to another during their lifetimes. The energy field that is calibrated for an individual at birth only increases on the average by about 5 points. That an individual's level of consciousness is already in effect at birth is a sobering idea with profound implications. So I suppose that is a little bit politically incorrect, and it would kind of mirror like a IQ research where they find that generally you can't increase your intelligence all that much. Although that's why I recommend doing dual NBAC training, one of the very few ways to actually increase your intelligence. Next, let's talk about level 250, which is neutrality. And this stood out to me. People of neutrality have a sense of well-being. The mark of this level is a confident capability to live in the world. This is the level of safety. People at this level easily get along with and are safe to be around and associate with because they're not interested in conflict, competition, or guilt. They're comfortable and basically undisturbed emotionally. This attitude is non-judgmental and doesn't lead to any need to control other people's behaviors. Correspondingly, due to neutral people's value for freedom, they are difficult to control. At this level of awareness, a major transformation takes place, with the understanding that one is both the source and creator of the experience of one's life. And that sounds like me. Yeah, I think I'm probably at level 250. That one resounds. Next, let's get into the philosophical takeaways from the book. On Truth, man's dilemma now and always has been that he misidentifies his own intellectual artifacts as reality. Have you done that? Yeah. We've all kind of done that. And not just us men, as he says in his book. Rather sexist of him to put it that way, I do say. And here's the most critical realization of all. Mankind lacks the capacity to recognize the difference between truth and falsehood. Yeah, that's a good point. And this passage made me think of The Fountainhead by Ayn Rand. But of all the arts, architecture is the most tangible and influential in the lives of men everywhere. We live, shop, go to work, and seek our entertainment in buildings. Thus, the form of the structure itself deserves the utmost attention because its influence is a background to so much human activity. This made me reflect fondly of the time when I lived in Valencia, Spain, and they just had the most beautiful architecture there in the historic old town of Valencia, Spain. And quick tangent, have you seen that new movie that came out? I think it's called The Brutalist, with that one actor who was like such a stud muffin 20 years ago. And it's about the originator of Brutalist architecture. And Brutalist architecture sucks. It's like the dehumanizing, boring, blockish architecture that like typifies most cities these days. I think it kind of comes out of the Soviet Union. I think it kind of comes out of Marxism. And yet Hollywood made, or Hollyweird, shall I say, made this really big blockbuster movie. I do want to watch it, about the originator of Brutalist architecture. In just watching the trailer, it looks like it's totally lionizing the originator of Brutalism. And Brutalism sucks. And so I'm like, ah, leave it to Hollywood to turn the father of all this ugly architecture into like a hero. But I'm going to watch the movie anyways, because I don't know, maybe it'll change my mind on architecture. Next, on love. Quote, love that is unconditional, unchanging, and permanent. It doesn't fluctuate. Its source isn't dependent on external factors. Loving is a state of being. It's a forgiving, nurturing, and supportive way of relating to the world. Love isn't intellectual and doesn't proceed from the mind. Love emanates from the heart. It has the capacity to lift others and accomplish great feats because of its purity of motives. Oh, and I might here in the article insert a link over to an article I did entitled Against Love, with my musings on the inadequacy of our favorite word, where I argue that love is kind of a dumb word for a complex, powerful human dynamic with dark and light light sides. And I might disagree. I might say that true love comes from the mind. True love has some rationality and logic backing it up. Next, on the title of the book, Power vs. Force. Quote, we see that power arises from meaning. It has to do with motive, and it has to do with principle. Power is always associated with that which supports the significance of life itself. It appeals to that part of human nature that we call noble, in contrast to force, which appeals to that which we call crass. Power appeals to what uplifts, dignifies, and ennobles. And the author also sounded a little sour on this point. Quote, false gurus also make people go weak in a dramatic fashion. It's as though the universe considers spiritual rape an especially grave error. On Hawkins' biases, he claims every statement in the book was tested for truth using applied kinesiology. If that's true, then some of his results are curious. Take capital punishment. Hawkins frames it as the symptom of a guilt-ridden, unforgiving American society. Fair enough. But at times, his commentary lapses into what I would call cat lady in 1999 liberalism. It's hard to imagine that every statement, especially the ones that read like op-eds, was literally tested for absolute truth. This strains credulity. And then there are Hawkins' heroes. He lionizes Mikhail Gorbachev as a humble, high consciousness leader. Quote, for example, Mikhail Gorbachev was the subject of enormous worldwide attention. But at the same time, the world never really did acknowledge his genius. Single-handedly, in only a few short years, he completely revolutionized one of the greatest empires on earth, and his only source of power were his inspiration and vision. Had the communist regime been based on power, nothing could have overturned it. Because it was based on force, it was destined to come to an end under the hand of a charismatic leader who was aligned with power. But I read this really haunting book a couple of years back. It's not about personal growth or biohacking. It was just a really impactful book about the Soviet Union, David Remnick's The Tomb of Lenin. And this paints a complicated picture. Gorbachev was motivated by expanding communism globally under the guise of the environmentalist movement. And you could argue that he succeeded. He was hardly the pure spiritual reformer Hawkins made him out to be. Anyone that can rise to the top of a system as corrupt as communism is going to be the opposite of spiritually pure. So that is incredibly naive on Hawkins' behalf. Also, I raised an eyebrow at his praise of Sam Walton and Walmart. According to Hawkins, Walmart is aligned with high consciousness, service, and compassion. But anyone who has seen the documentaries about Walmart's predatory business practices would disagree. And this characterization feels, frankly, like corporate hagiography. Next, dense language, big ideas is what you get in this book. One of the biggest challenges of Power versus Force is Hawkins' writing style. It's Byzantine, full of abstract language, complicated sentences, and the kind of vocabulary that makes you want to reach for a dictionary. For example, I will treat you to just such an example. The moral code thus functions as a rationalized exploitation of the life energy of the masses, though a calculated distortion of values. The illusion proffered is that the more hellish one's life is, the more heavenly the reward will be. The distorted coupling of pleasure with suffering has produced a morally perverse social milieu in which pain becomes associated with pleasure. In this atmosphere, the insane alternation of suffering and euphoria that typifies addiction becomes at least provisionally defensible in a deadly antisocial game of winning and losing the forbidden fruit. And yeah, maybe you're saying, Coma, what? I must not have done enough smart drugs today because I have no idea what that means. A bit of storytelling and clarity would have gone a long way in the book. Still, beneath the tangled prose, the core ideas are compelling. First, humanity has only recently, since the 1980s, shifted above the collective consciousness level of 200. Why? Why the 1980s is a tipping point? I would speculate that media technology began beaming edifying enough messages to billions of human beings in the last 40 years for us to reach this tipping point. Second, most people do not truly exercise free will since they are trapped in energy fields that shape behavior. And this is also the conclusion that I arrived at in my book about philosophy that you will enjoy reading much more than David Hawkins' book. Next, depression, addiction, and even illness have roots in consciousness rather than just biology. Agreed. And fourthly, culture, music, and media have measurable energetic impacts on our well-being. And here's an interesting takeaway. Just as the entrainment or influence of the higher energy fields has an anabolic or growth-enhancing effect on the subject, entrainment by lower attractor fields has a catabolic or destructive effect. The most widespread example in today's culture is the influence of some forms of violent pop music. Among our test subjects, punk rock, death rock, and gangster rap music made every subject go weak, confirming earlier observations made by Dr. John Diamond. In a more recent study, Dr. James Johnson of the University of North Carolina found rap music to increase tolerance for and predisposition to violence while promoting materialism and reducing immediate interest in academics and long-term success. A common experience observed in therapy groups and clinics is that drug users don't recover if they continue to listen to heavy metal rock music. In fact, a one-year follow-up of inpatient and outpatient cocaine addicts from Sedona Villa, a branch of Camelback Hospital of Phoenix, Arizona, indicated that not a single cocaine abuser who continued to listen to this violent and negative music recovered. Boy, that's kind of interesting and bad news for those of you that enjoy hip-hop or hardcore rock music. These days, I don't listen to much hip-hop nor hardcore rock. Yeah, mostly binaural beats. Yeah, as I've gotten older, I try to listen to more uplifting kind of music, and in fact, I make it myself with AI, and I'll probably add a silly AI song to the end of this podcast. So yeah, listen to the end, and you can enjoy a little bit of my song writing. Some of these points resonate with Jung's collective consciousness or Robert Sheldrake's morphic fields. Others sound like wishful metaphysics, but Hawkins' framework is broad enough that readers can find both inspiration and fuel for skepticism. Which brings me to my N of one muscle testing experiment to fairly test his claim. I ran my own blind experiments. Since I have my whole genome sequenced, I can make statements about specific genes or SNPs that I do not already know the truth of. Then I muscle tested those statements and pulled up the results in my sequencing.com genome explorer. And so I surmise, writing this before conducting the experiment, if the muscle testing correctly identifies true and false statements about my DNA without me knowing the answers in advance, that would provide strong evidence for Hawkins' method is not just placebo or imagination. On the other hand, if it fails to track with the objective genetic data, that would be a serious strike against the validity of applied kinesiology as a truth testing methodology. So my wife and I followed the technique in the book, and I will skip right past that because I've got all these quotes and all these specifics in the article, and you can just go and look that. You can go and read the article and then conduct these kinds of experiments yourself. So before testing the genomic statements, I made several testing statements, which were a mix of truths and lies, like, my name is Jonathan Eric Roseland. My name is Jonathan Livingston Siegel. I live in Aurora, Colorado. Or I live in Sofia, Bulgaria. I have a mistress in Canada. And I lost my virginity on my wedding night. And you can go and see the truth or falsity of those statements over on the article. And then I did a permission, asking for permission, where you say, I have permission to make the following inquiries into the gene variants I carry. And I got a strong response to that. And I went weak on all the lies. That's interesting. I then proceeded with truth testing my genes on 3 different dates with my wife. And here are the results. I got a spreadsheet embedded in the article. After recording this data, I looked up the results in my sequencing.com genome explorer. And for 2 gene variants, my genome explorer did not provide those variants, so I marked them as NA and kind of threw out those results. And I then had Gemini AI perform a statistical analysis, and the results were disappointing. Quote, the analysis was performed on the 18 statements that had a confirmed yes or no result. The 2 statements with NA for the confirmed column were excluded. September 5th, your muscle testing had 13 correct matches out of 18 total trials with an accuracy of 72%. The probability of achieving this result by random chance is only 9.6, which is statistically significant. But then the next 2 dates were not statistically significant. And Gemini AI concludes, this is not statistically significant and suggests that the results are consistent with what you would expect from random guessing. Based on the analysis of your updated data, the results of your muscle testing were significantly more accurate than random chance on September 5th, but not on September 13th or September 23rd. So, bummer. It would seem that muscle truth testing, as described in Hawkins' Power vs. Force, is BS. We did our best to follow the instructions in the book, where he describes muscle testing as something that works reliably, that anyone can do simply. And only one of our tests produced statistically significant results. If it works as Hawkins describes, I would expect at least one test to approach 100% accuracy, or I would have expected some consistency in between the truth or veracity of the declarative statements made about the specific SNPs. But that was different. Yeah, it seems just really random. It doesn't seem like there's a magical universal internet field of knowledge that we are plugging into. It seemed like a silly waste of time, but holding out a little hope for muscle testing as a spiritual technology that I might have some aptitude for, I decided to muscle test declarative statements about the Goldbach conjecture, the greatest unsolved mystery in mathematics. I'm not a mathematician, but I featured the greatest unsolved mystery in mathematics in my recent science fiction novel, Hourglass. And I was curious if muscle testing would work in the domain of math or history. So I had AI create this list of truth or falsehoods about the Goldbach conjecture. And I again, for I think this was the fifth time, did muscle testing experiment with my wife, and the results were disappointing. Gemini AI concluded, "Your muscle testing experiment on the Goldbach conjecture resulted in an accuracy of 60%, which is not statistically significant when compared to random chance. In this experiment, the muscle testing did not outperform a simple coin flip." But here's the really interesting thing, though. Muscle testing was pretty close to 100% accurate when it came to the lies and truths that we knowingly uttered in our testing statements. Yeah, deception is a topic I've long been interested in. I link in the article over to an article that I did on life hacking lying. And muscle testing seems to work pretty well as a lie detector. That could be useful. In fact, in the updated second edition of my book for men about dating, I include in, I have a chapter called Seducing a Virgin. Yeah, I wrote about that. I have a chapter about that, and I write about how this muscle testing could be used. And it's kind of edgy. A lot of people would disagree with what I have to say. So I'm just going to leave that in the second edition of my book. And if you're a single guy, maybe you should pick that up. But yeah, I seem to have stumbled across a lie detection technology. And people lie a lot. So that could be useful. Here's my final thoughts. Reading Power vs. Force is like walking through a flea market of metaphysics. You'll find brilliant gems, dubious trinkets, and the occasional woke bumper sticker. On one hand, the idea of a testable, objective measure of truth is intoxicating. Imagine a world where falsehood can be exposed instantly, where politicians, gurus, and corporations can no longer hide behind words. Hawkins' vision of a consciousness-based future is inspiring. On the other hand, though, the evidence is thin, the writing is dense, and the conclusions sometimes feel like they were made to fit a pre-existing worldview. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence, and Hawkins does not deliver. Nor did the four N-of-1 experiments I ran. Muscle testing was something I really wanted to believe in. I thought it was a really, really cool concept, and I wanted it to work. So it's just a reminder to be skeptical of fantastic woo-woo claims. And in my weird little corner of the internet where we talk about biohacking and alternative health and conspiracy theories, there are a whole lot of fantastic woo-woo claims. And even if something is out of the mainstream, sometimes mainstream skepticism is actually correct on a lot of things. And the weird theories on the internet are dead wrong, as we found here with truth testing and applied kinesiology. Still, as a piece of spiritual self-help literature, it's worth grappling with. If nothing else, the map of consciousness provides a useful metaphor. Courage is the fulcrum between stagnation and growth, and the reminder to orient towards truth, integrity, and love, however we define them. That's invaluable. The practical takeaway is this. Don't swallow Hawkins whole, but don't dismiss him either. Test the ideas and experiment yourself with applied kinesiology. It's kind of a fun thing to do with a friend or family member. And at the bottom of the written review on limitlessmindset.com, I'm going to link to a demonstration of it exactly, because a podcast is not really the best format for me to demonstrate this. If nothing else, I think this might sharpen your BS detector. And that, in and of itself, is a form of power. If you read this book and you had some thoughts on it, go ahead and drop me a comment below with that. And I am always curious about spiritual technologies, okay? I'm always curious about mysterious things that human beings can do that technology cannot do. So feel free to drop me comments or messages with more reading suggestions in this vein. And I do hope I've inspired you here to try the truth testing. There are people out there on the internet that say that they get some value out of this. So I'd be curious. I didn't, but I'd be curious about hearing from others. I'm Jonathan with Limitless, looking forward to a continued conversation with you.
Library quiet, pages humming like wires. Hawkins in the margin, sparking subtle inner fires. Maps of consciousness mapped out like a star chart. Levels calibrated by the muscle and the heart. Power resonates, forces brittle and loud. One lifts the world, the other bullies the crowd.
The individual human mind is like a computer terminal connected to a giant database. The database is human consciousness itself, of which our own consciousness is merely an individual expression. But with its roots in the common consciousness of all mankind.
I tested a spiritual technology on my genes and discovered a deception detector. Truth rings steady, falsehood flickers like a specter. Signals in the body telling subtle facts from lies. A quiet calibration. Cutting through the world's disguise. Ranging on
atomic essays, raw data to decode, 23,000 lines deep on the open nodes, off the genes, which is lit by alignment of intent, found resonance patterns the textbooks never meant. If biology sings when integrity is near, then consciousness is architecture exquisitely clear.
Courage implies the willingness to try new things and deal with the changes and challenges of life. At this level of empowerment, one is able to cope with and effectively handle the opportunities of life.
Then the mathematics, yes, the Goldbach conjecture tale, truth testing factoids where logic might fail. Binary certainty is cold and austere, but the muscle whispers what the mind can't hear. No oracle, no mystic, no Satan's flame, just a nervous system tuned to truth without name.
Man's dilemma, now and always, has been that he misidentifies his own intellectual artifacts as reality.
Some call it placebo or cognitive spin, but they never actually tested within. Four strains argues, demands to be right. Power stands silent, unmoved in its light. I watch claims collapse when ego shouted loud, and truth remained quiet but undeniably proud.
Mankind lacks the capacity to recognize the difference between truth and falsehood.
This is the discipline of signaling noise, the difference between posturing men and poise. The calibration scale is a treetop view. Power is alignment, forces residue. A life lived clean, like cast like a star. No coercion needed, influence travels far.
I tested a spiritual technology on my genes and discovered a deception detector.
Truth rings steady, falsehood flickers like a specter. Signals in the body telling subtle facts from lies. A quiet calibration,
cutter-ration,
cutting through the world's disguise. Power moves mountains while force fractures under pressure.
Limitless experimentation is presented here for your edification and enlightenment. Get more at limitlessmindset.com.